Merry Christmas.
Now, at the 5:30 service we had with the children, which was just beautiful, I told everybody, pull the stems out on your watches right now. Just pull the stems out. Let's freeze this time. Let's hold on to this day because it just comes so quick, and tomorrow will pass in a whirlwind. But you know, the spirit of Christmas, man, that's every day all year long. So it's a joy to see you here. It's a real praise the Lord. It really is. Right now, you know the busy schedule that all of you have, the company you're expecting, the meals you have to cook, the last minute wrapping you've got to do. Forget all about that. Check it at the door. Be here in the moment. Be here right now. Just open yourself up to what God has for you this night. Because I know that we've got a load of things to do, all of us. But right now in this place, in God's living room, we're here to tell him thank you for that wonderful gift of his son, Jesus Christ. We are here to praise the Lord. So deep breath. Let go of everything. Give it all to God. It is good to be here. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we do thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for loving us so much that you became one of us, Emmanuel. And God, we pray that this night we love you back with all that we have, with our very best. So, Lord, it is our prayer that we are all empty vessels, filled up with your Holy Spirit. And we pray that the honor and glory and praise that we give to you this night is pleasing to you. So come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. Fill us all with love for one another, and fill us especially with love for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. Please rise and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response to my prompt. He's coming, he's coming. The Savior of the world is coming. He comes to each one of us, healing and restoring our lives. O come, Prince of Peace, bring your light to us. Please remain standing and join me in our unison prayer as printed in your bulletin. Gracious God, with joy and thanksgiving we gather as your people. We have come to hear again the timeless story of Christ's birth. In the excitement of this night, quiet our hearts that we may know the peace and fullness of this holy time. Shine, O light, in the darkness of our world. Sing, O angels, in the stillness of our hearts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those God favors. This we pray in the name of the Child of Bethlehem. Amen. Please remain standing for our hymn 234 in your red hymnal, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
As we celebrate the birth of Jesus and rejoice in his coming to us, we light the Christ candle. Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our peace. Jesus Christ is our joy. He is love, pure, holy, undying love. Whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Our first lesson this evening is taken from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 9, verses 2 through 7, hear these words from the prophet. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and of peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. From this time forth, and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thank you, Ralph. And to Rick earlier for his trumpet, both of these boys grew up here in the church, and it just warms my heart to see them grow into such fine young men. Let us now hear the story of the birth of the Christ child, turning to the New Testament, as told by Luke, beginning in chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, his betrothed, who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Joy, joy for Christ.
Thank you, Becky. We now continue with Luke's story as taken from the New Testament in the Bible. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Please stand and turn in your red hymnal to page 238, "Angels We Have Heard on High." Please be seated. Now hear the conclusion of Luke's story from the New Testament. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's give those beautiful little girls, cousins Hannah and Sophie, a round of applause. They're learning at an early age how to work under pressure. Great job, girls. And our fifth and final lesson is from the New Testament, the book of Matthew, in chapter 2. Hear these words of the Magi's visit to the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose in the night sky and have come to worship him." After they had heard what King Herod had to say, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Please join me as we sing the first verse, page 256, in your red hymnal. You may remain seated. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. I still have a response to the word. Like I said, technical difficulties. If you follow in your bulletin, it is the response to the word of God. Please follow your prompt to your response to my prompt. We are filled with joy, for we have heard news of great joy. We are filled with hope, for the angels still sing in our world.
And there is light across
all. And now I'll ask the ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And for all the gifts, none of them are more important or more wonderful than the gift of your Son. And so we give unto you these gifts, these tithes and these offerings. And we give them to you, Lord, with a very, very cheerful heart. Blessed be your holy name. Happy birthday, Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless and multiply these offerings, use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to a hurting and dark world. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a time that we give testimony unto God, witness to the work that he's done in our lives, and we join our faith one to the other and ask for prayers for God to intervene. So if you have a joy, if you're feeling very elated, you are thrilled about something in your life, you are thankful for something that you have, I want you to raise your hand. Okay, and if you didn't raise your hand, my office hours are, we've all got something to be thankful about, let me tell you. And if you're not, then you're taking something for granted. Lots of blessings. We indeed are a blessed people. For all of our joys, we always say, praise Lord. So for all of our joys, we say, praise Lord. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the concerns that you have upon your hearts. And just like we are indeed a blessed people, we also are people who have a lot of concerns. Concerns for aches and pains, for relationships, for our children, our parents, our grandparents. Concerned over finances, over work, over reputations. Concerned about our country, about things going on in the world, the violence, disease. Concerned about our pets. Concerned about our church. Concern, concern, concern. We have that. And Jesus said to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. And one of the ways that we do that is through prayer. Jesus said that whatever you ask for in my name, I'll give it unto you. So when we ask according to God's word, watch out. I mean, the Holy Spirit goes to work. So if you have that burden on your heart for yourself or for someone else or for some situation, raise your hand. Give that concern to God. And now we always say, when I say Lord, we always say, hear our prayers. So Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, we do thank you for our blessings. And we pray that we never take them for granted. And help us, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to use those blessings the way you intended us to use them, in order to be a blessing to others, to share what we have with one another, so that they too, Lord, will come to know your goodness. And God, we lift up into the light and love of your presence all of the requests that we've made known here today by faith with the upraised hand. We cast those cares upon you because we believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We believe that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It is written that with you, God, all things are possible. We believe that you, my God, will supply all our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have favor with God and man. It is written. Thank you for that. Thank you for these promises that you will not break. And God, we ask all this, giving you and you alone all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's hear this word of the Lord from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. But I got to tell you, I'm excited to be here, to be sharing Christmas Eve with you. It just excites me no end. And when we're done preaching the word, we're going to have candles, and we're going to light those candles and let that light pierce the darkness and celebrate. And then we're going to go home and carry on traditions at home and just have fun. And I just love Christmas. Now, Tracy and I were talking a little earlier, and I have to agree with her. I get a little... I don't want to use that word, but I get a little uptight sometimes about Christmas. It has to go just right, you know. Got to have all those decorations out, and I make way more cookies than me and Bonnie will ever eat. And I've got Christmas containers, dishes, cans, sitting all over the house with chocolate in them. And I'm not allowed to eat it, you know. It's not... you're more than welcome to stop over and help. Yeah, it's not that I'm diabetic or anything. It's chocolate doesn't agree with me. But I just love that. And you know, we play that game on the day after Christmas where, you know, you have the gifts, you draw a name, somebody opens up a gift, and the next person draws a name. They pick a gift, and they open it up. And if they don't like it, they can steal the other person's gift. And, you know, we do that until we're all done. And we'll get about 30 people come over. I probably got about 40 gifts. I just kept buying them and wrapping them and putting them in the bag. And you know, and I'm so excited. As a matter of fact, I was telling Bonnie tonight that I'm a little disappointed that we don't have a white Christmas. I always want a white Christmas. I love that. But on the other hand, it's nice that it's not nasty out. It's nice that you can get out and travel and it's safe. So what I did was I went into my freezer and I shaved down some ice. And I put it in a cooler here. Okay, it's really a cotton ball. But I like to have fun, let me tell you. Not only is Christmas supposed to be fun, but being a Christian is supposed to be fun. Oh, yeah, we go through aches and pains. We have problems. There's even tragedy and heartache in our lives. But we should still smile and have fun because we know how it all turns out in the end. And if you don't, you need to talk to somebody about Jesus. We all know how it turns out in the end. Got a poem here for you. 'Twas the night Jesus came, and all through the house, not a person was praying, not one in the house. The Bibles were left on the shelf without care, for no one thought that Jesus would come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker, with baby in her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just as he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names have been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I'd known that this was the night. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Christmas. There's a story I want to share with you from Tom Shepherd. And it's about Joey. Joey's a 10-year-old boy. Christmas was an exciting time, and Joey was excited too. He was only 10 years old. And he was as excited as any 10-year-old boy could be. For him, Christmas was still a time of wonder. He did the things most 10-year-olds do. He played ball, rode his bike, climbed trees, went fishing with his dad. He was a happy kid. He just enjoyed life, every part of it. To him, life was full of wonder and amazement. And Christmas was the most wonderful time of the year. It was Christmas Eve, and the ground was white with snow. It was cold, and it was clear. The stars bright that night and seemed so close that you would have thought you could reach out and touch them with your hands. The family was on their way to the grandparents' house. That was the family tradition. Joey could hardly wait. He was excited, and his mind just raced with ideas about what he might receive this year as a present. What present would be under the tree for him this night? See, every year, the family would gather in Grandpa and Grandma's house. There was always a huge tree there, and there was always a present under the tree for each person. The kids, Well, the kids, they would try to sneak a peek at their gift to see where it was at and what it looked like. Joey was usually one of the first ones to find out where his present was at. But this year it was different. He didn't find his present right away, even though he searched all over the place. It just wasn't under the tree. Huh. He began to worry because he couldn't find it. And then his eyes caught sight of a big box in the corner. It was a huge box, the biggest present he had ever seen. He slowly walked over to it, and sure enough, written on the tag were the letters J-O-I-E. He was grinning from ear to ear. His eyes were wide with excitement. Grandpa always handed out the presents. Grandpa was not very fast, but this year he seemed especially slow. And wouldn't you know it, Joey's name was the last one called. As soon as his name was called, Joey bolted up to Grandpa. Is this really mine? Is this big present really mine? Grandpa reassured him it was. As soon as he knew that it was his, he tore into the package. And what do you think he found? What do you think was inside that large box? It was the best Christmas present that Joey had ever received. So what do you think was in that box? A Ryder BB gun in the biggest box he'd ever seen? Well, Ben. Got a box full of Bibles, okay? Anybody else have an idea what was in that huge box, the best Christmas present he ever got? A what? A sled. Okay, sled. I thought maybe a bicycle, but sled. Anybody else have an idea?
Cross.
A cross. A cross. Okay. Whatever it was, it sure had Joey excited. How do you measure the value of a present? How do you judge its worth? By its size, its weight? Do you judge the worth of a present by its cost, or perhaps by its usefulness? How much trouble did you go to get the present this year for your loved one or your child? Did you go to a lot of trouble? Was it difficult for you? I'm telling you, usually every year I kind of knock my head against the wall trying to figure out, what can I get Bonnie, you know, something different, something that she'll really like. Because you know how it is, folks, don't you? Especially us older folks. If you want something during the year, you just go out and buy it. So come Christmas time, you don't really need anything. But you want to get something for your spouse, your loved one, your child, something that they'd really enjoy. Now, I know some of you like to buy the blenders and the hammers and saws. And that's nice, you know. I'm sure people appreciate washing machines and stuff like that. I could get something real personal, though. Now, for me, it's easy. Bonnie knows she just got to buy me a toy, you know. And I'm happy. But she gets me a Rubik's Cube, puts me in the corner of the room. I'm good for Christmas. Bonnie, however, you know, what can I get Bonnie? And she made it easy for me this year. She put her list on Amazon. I'll tell you, that was great, man. I just went down the list, picked out a few things, and then I went and bought some stuff that wasn't on the list, just so you know that, okay? But how much sacrifice, how much hard work, how much money do you spend on a gift for it to really be worthwhile? John chapter 1, verse 14, again, says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The creative Word of God, the Word of God that created everything that we see, the whole world and everything in it, that Word became flesh. The Logos of God, the creative Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that person is Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? The creative Word of God becomes flesh, dwells among us. I mean, after all, it's God. How hard could it be? Sounds pretty simple. But we have certainly romanticized Christmas, haven't we? I mean, it's a lot. We've heard all the arguments. I mean, Christmas is a lot about Ka-ching. The stores, they put out the decorations, the music, the sales earlier and earlier every year. But we've also done our part to romanticize Christmas. I mean, you know, I talked about this the other week. Hallmark, all those sugary movies and all of the the Star Song. Is that from Charlie Brown?
No, but it sounds like it just sounds.
Oh, it sounds just like the song they sing in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And so we've romanticized. I mean, look at this tree. It's absolutely gorgeous, you know. And I see some of you have got your Christmas best on. Rory, sitting next to you. Yes, I love that top. I love that top. It is gorgeous. But in truth, nothing romantic about it. God went to a lot of trouble. God went to a lot of preparation and a lot of cost to give us Christmas. There was a world-shaping event taking place in 733 B.C. 733 B.C. God's chosen people, the Hebrews, they were conquered and led off into exile by Assyria. It wasn't all of the Hebrews. There were still more left. But Assyria took them captive and dragged them off to foreign lands. And then, in 597 B.C., the Babylonian hordes came in and carried off more of the Hebrews into exile. And so the Hebrew people, God's chosen people, were scattered all over the world as exiles, as slaves. But wherever they went, they took with them their culture. They took with them all of their religious teaching. So wherever they went, people heard about the prophecies about a coming Messiah. In 356 to 323 BC, there was a young general named Alexander. Alexander the Great. He rose to power. He was a genius. He rose to power and he led an army that conquered every country in the known world. And legend has it that when Alexander the Great reached the seashore, he stood there and he wept for the lack of more lands to conquer. But Alexander was special, see, because Alexander didn't want to just conquer other countries' armies. Alexander also wanted to conquer people's hearts and minds. And so Alexander introduced Hellenism into every country he went into. Every country he took over, he changed their culture by introducing Hellenism. Multi-theistic, a lot of different gods and idols, art, and also a common language, the Greek language. So everywhere that Alexander went, he introduced this so that all over the world, then there was a common language. A common school of thought. Interesting. Alexander died at a young age, and when he did, his empire was divided up among his generals. And shortly after that, there became a new world power by the name of Rome, and Rome took over the world. They conquered everybody. And right after Rome did that, the first thing they did was Rome built roads that went into every part of their empire so that if there was any rebellions, they could send troops right out, right away. And they also sent those troops out to collect taxes from everybody, from all their subjects. You may be familiar with the phrase, all roads lead to Rome. That's because of that. And so there was this Pax Romana. Pax Romana means forced peace, the forced peace of Rome. So people were free to travel wherever they wanted. There were roads to travel on. There was a common language to be spoken. You can worship as you please. You could go anywhere you wanted. Now, there was a lot of oppression, a lot of taxation, and there was a lot of spiritual confusion. because of all these different gods. People didn't know who to worship. There was moral decay, and the empire was falling apart from inside. And people wanted answers. They were fed up with the way society was going down the drain. And so they formed secret societies. They practiced self-mutilation, trying to find answers. They wanted truth. The world was in a very, very dark place. Oppression, confusion, moral decay, and a real hunger. Pretty cool. This is all part of that gift that God made for us. He went to a lot of trouble. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says that in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of being God's children. In the fullness of time, when things were just right. And it took centuries for God to put it all together. He shaped people. He shaped situations and cultures and countries. And when it was just right, when the world was ready to receive a Messiah, that's when God sent his son. God went to great lengths and great cost to prepare the world for the birth of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, but the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then a company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We needed it. It wasn't like buying a gift for somebody that they didn't need. This was a gift that we couldn't buy ourselves all year long. This was a gift that we desperately needed. Max Lucado, I'm sure you've heard this one. Max Lucado said, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a savior. Because that is our greatest need. Because of the sin in our lives, we have been estranged from God, kicked out of his house. You know, God would come down in the cool of the day, walk with Adam and Eve in the garden because he loved them. He wanted to have fellowship with them. God wants to hang out with you and me. That's why being a Christian is so wonderful, because we know how it turns out. And until we get there, God's got his arm out saying, "Come on, I'll help you. I'll help you get through this life and all its ups and downs. But I want you to come home." When Adam and Eve sinned, God banished them from the Garden of Eden. And humankind has been away from home ever since, until Jesus. Until that gift of forgiveness in that person of that wee baby in a manger. God wants us to come home. He wants us to accept that gift that we all need, that gift of forgiveness through Jesus. He wants us to come home because he loves us. God loves you, and God loves me, and he knows exactly what we need. This is the gift that we celebrate at Christmas. So let's make sure that during our celebrations, during our feasts, during our gift exchanges, let's make sure that we take time to thank God for loving us and for giving us the perfect gift. You may be wondering what was in Joey's box, but I have no idea because it didn't say. But we do know what we're celebrating at Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. God loves you, and so do I. Have the ushers hand out the candles. You already have your candles? Everybody got your candles? Now listen, when the ushers come and they light your candles, they're going to light the candle on the end of the row. You hold your candle straight up in the air. If your candle is lit, do not tip it over. The person whose candle is not lit tips their candle over to light off of yours and then holds it straight up, okay? As soon as the lights arrive, please stand and we'll sing 239, Silent Night. Thank you. Don't you just love how, no matter how dark it is, it just can't put your candle out. Can't put that light out. It can't. So no matter what darkness you've got in your life, no matter what you're battling, know this, that the light of Christ is with you. Nothing can put it out. Share that light with those around you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. Enjoy. Think about those people who maybe don't have anything or anyone and invite them into your circle. But we love you. Bunches and bunches. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. We thank you, God, for everything. Happy birthday, Jesus. And we pray that what we do tonight and tomorrow, we pray that it's pleasing unto you and life-changing not only to us, but to everybody around us. So come, Holy Spirit, bless us not only in this place, but in our homes, at work, and while we're driving. Fill us with Christmas love, one for the other, and especially for you. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. And I'm going to stay up front. We'll be all night getting out of here. So if you wanted to see me, come on down front. God bless.